Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, hi everybody, and welcome to a very special Kings of Anglia video podcast with myself, Mike Bacon. And this is a little bit of a summer treat we're going to do throughout the summer, bringing you some town fans, some celebrity town fans, dare I say, as well, who are going to let us know what their favourite ever Town 11 was. Now, this, remember, is favourites, not best, because if we did best 11, as I said when I did mine, it would just be the UEFA Cup winning team. We can't all do that because that's no feature at all, because we know all about that. This is a bit of favourites. So, anyhow, look, I'm joined by somebody who is... It's far too modest to call himself a celebrity, but I'm afraid he's going to be called that because this chap is terrific. And what he achieved back in 1983, winning the World Darts Championship, was absolutely extraordinary. I was there, gripped among, like many others, watching him. Well, he came in as a qualifier and ended up winning the whole damn thing, beating Eric Bristow in a thrilling 6-5 final. His checkout of 1-3-8. The name of his book, of course, which he hasn't told me to plug, but I'm going to plug it anyway, was terrific. It's Keith Deller. Keith, born in Ipswich, of course, and a massive Ipswich Town fan. He's followed the team from goodness knows where. He'll tell us more about that in a minute. I just want to say what a terrific win that was. Keith, it's lovely to see you here. I hope you're well.
I'm very well, thanks, Mike. Yeah, all good.
Well, what about...
Season. Back in the Championship and then Premier League. That's what we're going to do. Come on.
Oh, fantastic. Fighting talk from the off, Keith. I love it. Fantastic. Exactly. Fantastic. Look, before we tell about your team, Keith, I like darts. Lots of fans like darts. I mean, come on. What, 1983? Wow. I mean, is it just like, do you remember it as yesterday or is it fading a little now?
No, I still remember the day and the morning. I used to, every day I was in the practice room about 7 in the morning. I mean, no one came down to about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I did the same every day. And players would go, Jesus, here he is on the practice board. But the thing is, they were all checking out the hotel and I was practicing every day. So to me, it was like I was into a routine. Early practice, play for about 3 hours. And then if you're playing on the day, then you sort of chill out and then get ready for the match. And that's what I did all the time. And it worked really well for me. And it was all about preparation. I didn't want to sort of be what some of them would stay in the bar and have a few drinks. To me, you can do that once the tournament's over. I had a set routine, and my manager at the time, Linda Batten and John Markovich, on the day of the final, they said, you can't do 3 hours in the morning, you're playing in the afternoon. So I still did about 2 hours, but it was just that day. And then obviously playing Eric, that was the dream for me. I knew the whole town were watching. And it was just really, I was just that confident I was going to win. I'd said to Peter Purvis, who was Blue Peter presenter, he said, I hear you're a good qualifier. I said, I'm better than that. I'm world champion at the end of the week. And he had £20 on me at 66-1. So I think you heard more of me than BBC. So, but it was just confidence. It doesn't matter what sport, if you're confident, then you can win. And the final really was fantastic. I should have won 6-3. I did say to Terry O'Day and John Lowe in the break, I was 2-1 up. I said, I'll win 6-3. I had 7 darts, but my hand was shaking. My lips were quivering because I knew that I put in such a good leg that I knew I was going to get 3 or 6 darts at a double to win the title. And I think I just thought about winning before throwing the dart at the double and sort of really I bottled it, to be honest. And then it went to 5 sets all. I went 1-0 down. Eric broke my darts, which means I was in big trouble. I think I went 12, 15, 12. So it was just great. And I remember the next day, I mean, people said to me, what are you doing? I said, tonight. They said, nightclubs all want you to go. I watched Match of the Day in the hotel because I wanted to see Ipswich because we beat Charlton that day in the cup. And I went back to the hotel, sat at the bar, pint of orange and lemonade, and watch Match of the Day. And they went, why aren't you going out? I said, no, I can't be bothered. You know,
now that's extraordinary, Keith. You see, the day you win the World Darts Championship, you remember that Town beat Charlton in the FA Cup. I mean, that's I love that. That's a true Town fan.
Well, it was funny because when I got to the semi-final, BBT said if I beat Jockey, they want three sets in grandstand live. And then we finished the final off about an hour and a half after we played the three sets. I think about 10-6, it went live on BBC Two. And I always remember I was in the practice room and I'd just come off how are we doing? We were losing 2-0. I went, oh no. And then next minute, there was me just sitting there, just waiting for the scores to come in. I thought I'm playing in an hour. But I was just, and then we won 3-2. And I remember a couple of the players, they said they couldn't wait to get back on the coach to watch the final. They said it was the quickest they ever got changed after a match. And then to take the next day, I didn't know. I was going back home to see my family and friends at Bunting Road in Ipswich. And the whole street had been done up. Mm. And the next minute, everyone was there, you know, the papers, the TV. And it was fantastic. And it's about 3 months down the road, I played Eric in a rematch, best of 11 sets, 5 legs a set. It was 1 leg all, and I took 138 out, but I can't tell you what he said.
No, of course, 1-3-8 is what you finished on to win the title. Look, Keith, we could talk about darts all day. I mean, I watched the final. I remember watching it with you. All the chalk you had on your darts, that was always very interesting. And
I know, still do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. Anyway, but that's enough. Great, great little memory there, Keith, and fantastic what you did for Ipswich and yourself and everything. That's brilliant. But we're here to talk about your favourite ever Ipswich Town 11, because obviously you're a big Town fan. Anybody who wins the World Darts Championship, these first questions, how did Town get on? Has got to be a big fan now. Terrific. Keith, so look, what we'll do is... tell us a little about. Well, we'll just start off. I mean, tell me your formation, and then tell me your goalkeeper, and we'll take it from there.
I've gone for a 4-4-2. My first one, the goalkeeper, it has to be Paul Cooper for me. Paul, he was such a good goalkeeper. I mean, when other teams got a penalty, normally you go, "Oh, we're 1-0 down." You're going, "Hold on, he'll save this penalty." I think. What how many did he say? About 6 on the trot or something? It was just unbelievable that he was just such a good goalkeeper. If you look at the gloves they used to wear compared to now, I mean, now they're like cricket gloves, didn't they? But they were really small gloves that they used to wear there at that time. But Paul was just so consistent, really. I mean, we had Laurie Civil, who was such a small goalkeeper. But Paul, to me, was really good for us. And as you say, when there was a penalty, I mean, we never get penalties at Portman Road. You know, I think we'd have to buy one to get one. But he was just fantastic and saving them. And I speak to him sometimes still on Twitter, you know. So it's, for me, he was my goalkeeper.
He was a fine keeper, wasn't he? And like you said, a great penalty record. And of course, he's one of the few players who wasn't an international in that Ipswich team at the time. Everyone else was internationals, but he never was.
That's right. I mean, the goalkeepers we had were like Peter Shilton and Ray Clements. I mean, that was so tough. I always remember David Best, because we're at Bunting Road, just 1 minute walk, the Ipswich townhouse, and David Best used to have it. And he always used to, the van would come around where you can get some sweets, cigarettes. He used to get about 40 cigarettes a day, and you'll think, Jesus, he's in goal for us. But he was always there every day when that van come around. But bit old school then, isn't it?
Yeah, changed a bit there anyway. So so we've got Cooper in goal. I mean, again, from my era, that's sort of, yeah, someone I remember very well. There'll be lots of people will have Coops. Right, so you've gone for let's start off with a right back then, Keith. I mean, who would you have in that right back position?
I've had to put in Mr. Ipswich, Mick Mills. I mean, was it 720 odd games for Ipswich? He's my captain as well. He's got to be captain. Mick was, he played for England. He even played sometimes in midfield. I mean, Mick was a really, really, I'd say, a solid footballer. You know, he read the game very well. He was really just Mr. Ipswich for us. I mean, I know he still reports on the home games. And to me, he was just a really good player. We played for England a few times and he played really well then. So for me, Mick was definitely the right back and also captain for me.
And of course, England captain as well. I think people forget that. We've got an England captain, you know, who rocks up to Portman Road every week to do a bit of commentary with Brenner.
That's right. And he talks a lot of sense. I mean, we always put the radio on the way back, and Mick always seems to sort of say the right things for me. But it's great. I mean, it's good to have someone like that talking about the club because, you know, the football's changed. I mean, people say like darts has changed. Nothing changed. They're still goalposts. They're still normally the same size football pitch. They obviously play with lighter balls and maybe lighter football boots. But, you know, the football was still great then. And we were fortunate to see, you know, the great Ipswich team. Well, it was a few great Ipswich teams, obviously. But for me, you know, we were very lucky.
Okay, so look, we've got Mick at right. So we've got Cooper, we've got Super Cooper in goal, we've got Mick at right back. So rather than centre, we'll go to the left back first, Keith. So who would you have as the other full back in your team?
I've gone for Ipswich manager, George Burley. I feel that George, he was very good at getting up the wing. And one thing that George was really good at was crossing the ball. You know, he's such a good player to cross the ball, play for Scotland. But I mean, we had good fullbacks. We've had a lot of good fullbacks over the years. And I just think George, I mean, done great for us as a manager, you know, when we went up to the Premier League. But it was very much like Mick Mills. He was very reliable. He didn't really have hardly a bad game. It was just, again, a real good, solid fullback. I mean, nowadays, you know, the fullbacks are really left wings or right wings. And they have to get up and down all the time, but back then so much it was really more of, you know, you're defending, make sure they don't score, and if you can get up the wing and get the ball across. And that's what George did. He was a very good defender, always in the good positions at the right place, and when he went forward you knew he had a good cross in him for the forwards to get onto.
Of course, George, you know, as we talk about legends at our club at Ipswich Town, and we often talk about so many different people, especially obviously the 81 team. And George, obviously, he didn't play in the UEFA Cup final, but he was part of that squad. And of course, but no one went on to manage to the level. He played 500 games and then went to manage them and got them into the Premiership. I mean, you know, Sir Bobby was fantastic, what Bobby did over all those decades. But George, as I always think, George, right up there, what he achieved at Ipswich Town, are really, you know, as a player and a manager. He could easily have flopped as a manager, couldn't he?
He's exactly right. And I see George a lot of times when I go to the Ipswich games. He was just telling me he'd just come back from Monte Carlo watching tennis. Him and his wife are massive tennis fans. Yeah. I said to him, I said, you go to Wimbledon? He went, it's very hard to get tickets. So anybody out there, get one of our best players ever and manager. Get him some tickets for Wimbledon.
Oh, he'll be delighted with that. If somebody has a thank you very much, he'll say, Keith, he'll be delighted with that. So, all right. So, so we go to the centre half. You've got two centre backs. Well, Ipswich had some cracking centre backs over the years, obviously. Keith, where are you going with this?
To me, it was a good friend of mine. To me, he's the greatest player we've ever had. And I think he would have been the greatest centre half of all time. And that's Kevin Beattie. I think Kevin was just unbelievable footballer. He was strong, you know, headed the ball well, you know, good foot on him, left foot. To me, he was just a brilliant, brilliant player. I mean, Kevin used to have the Ipswich townhouse just at the bottom of Bunton Road, across the road. And I used to see Kevin a lot and his leg would just come up like a balloon at the end. Every time he played, it was just horrible. But it was... And then it's funny that he started playing Sunday League. If you play Sunday League football with Kevin Beattie in your team, I think he's playing passes and they're going, what's that? I ain't that quick. But he was just brilliant because I was ball boy at Ipswich as well. And sometimes I'd be at the bus stop and he'd give me a lift down to the ground.
Oh, really?
I remember one, it was brilliant. And I always remember once, European game, I was ball boy and he was banging on the door, you're going to get this today. And I thought, Jesus, nowadays you'd be suspended, but he was just such a fantastic footballer. I mean, when they got a bit Beckham goal from a halfway line, Kevin got one against Leeds United. And I always remind Man United fans who I know, Kevin Beattie done it before with Beckham anyway, so it don't really matter. But, and Kevin, we become really good friends. You know, it's just horrible, really, when you think the players that they earn today and the money then, I mean, Kevin deserves, you know, millions and millions at the time because he was such a million-pound player. But unfortunately, the money wasn't there, and it was just hard. I mean, I always remember a story. I had Kevin's FA Cup medal for about 6 months, and he was just, you know, was going to get rid of it, and I brought it off him, and I just kept it in the drawer. 6 months later, I said, "Here's your medal. No one else is getting it."
He was
a really, really, really great guy, and to me, you will never get a better centre half than Kevin Beattie.
Now, of course, you obviously the Beat was a fantastic player. We all love watching him play. But who are you going to put alongside him then in your favourite Town 11 then, Keith? Because obviously there's a bit of pressure here on somebody to play alongside the Beat. We know who played alongside him most often, but have you gone for the obvious one or are you going for someone a little different?
I've gone for Terry Butcher. I just feel
I tell you what, you do well. Centre forward, get past both them two. Get one and one will get if the other one doesn't.
I know. Well, Big Al, I just remember I spoke to Alan once. They went past me. They used to go on the ground after that. So, but I mean, you got Russell Osman. There's so many good centre halves. We've had some really good ones. But to me, Terry was just so good in the air. Again, very much like Mick and George, always in the right place. You know, he was just a brilliant footballer. And then the famous headband, you know, it's like legendary, wasn't it? But to me, I felt that a couple of seasons ago when the Town's defence was not the best, and I used to say, why don't they employ you twice a week? You got, you know, and work on them, because the basic mistakes that we were making, you know, you've got someone like Terry Butcher living in the area to go there and help the players. And I think the new Ipswich managers already met all the players like Russell and George and Terry and picking their brains. And I think that's a brilliant way to have done it. So for me, Terry played brilliant for England. And I just think that alongside Kevin, they would have been very hard to get past.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You want to play up against those two. Did Terry captain England as well? I can't remember. I think he might well have done. He might be an England captain as well. I'm not sure. Somebody if there's anyone commenting on this, will perhaps let me know. But certainly, what a legend Terry Butcher was. Oh, gosh, we're so many legends. Your back four is full of legends, Keith. It's extraordinary.
I know.
It's extraordinary back four, you know, but it's wonderful. So there you go. So, right. So we're moving at the midfield now, though, Keith. I mean, so again, we'll go sort of right, left, then the two centres. So on the right of midfield, who would you have going up and down? Or just playing just in front of Mick Mills there on the right?
Well, I've got sort of four midfielders, so they might have to move left and right a bit. But the first one has to be John Walk. I mean, John Walk, Jesus, how many goals is it? Nearly 20 goals a season in midfield. I mean, nowadays, midfield players in the Premier League, they get about 9 goals and they're wonder players, didn't they? But, I mean, John Walk, his timing of a run, I don't think you could ever get anyone better. You know, all the times he would just ghost in, score a header, took penalties. To me, he was just a brilliant, brilliant player, and you just knew that he must probably score a goal. I mean, to get roughly 20 goals in a season, centre forwards think they've had a great season, and we had a midfielder that just kept scoring. He went to Liverpool, still scored goals, and he was just a fantastic midfield player that knew how to score, but you know, he put his shift in all the time as well.
I mean, that's the thing. I think what 81 season, you got 30 odd goals. I mean, it's extraordinary. From yeah, you're right. In this day and age, if someone gets 15 of 12 from midfield, they're considered, as you say, sort of in the next Maradona. But back then, I mean, Walker used to score for fun. Of course, he was a midfielder. I mean, that was it. He worked hard in defence and then got up front.
That's right, and it just, as I said, he had goals in him all the time, and you don't say that really about a midfielder. You just say, well, look, nowadays if a midfielder gets 5 or 6 goals, then he's had a good season, really. But for John, it was just, you know, he just liked scoring goals and good penalty taker as well. And then, unfortunately, at that time, we lost all our best players to, like, Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal. So that was the hardest thing for us, but it's just a great football team.
Right, that's one of your four. Keith, I mean, these midfields are going to have to be versatile. You said that you're not putting them in any structure. They're going to have to play. They're going to have to play all over the place. They're going to have to right, left, centre, back, forwards. You name it.
I put in Brian Talbot, which maybe I'm not sure how many people would, but to me, again, very good at up and down the box all the time. Also, again, you know, scored goals, and he was, to me, was another good player that, again, that we lost after our brilliant UEFA Cup time. And And I think Brian went to Arsenal because he played in three cup finals, didn't he? Well, that was 78, Brian Talbot. And then he played in three cup finals on a trot.
Between you and me, Keith, he's in my favourite 11 as well, Brian Talbot. I thought no one else would put him in. I thought I'd thrown a bit of a curveball in there, but you've gone and copied it. Fantastic. You knew what you could obviously tell. He's one of my favourite players. He was excellent, wasn't he? As you're right, he won the FA Cup within 3 years on the trot.
Well, he lost one, didn't he?
Sorry, yeah, he got in three finals. Sorry, yeah.
The one that was he lost to. They beat Man United, didn't they? Last minute, and then they lost the other one, didn't they? But Brian, to me, again, they're honest footballers, aren't they? You didn't see them rolling all over the place like they do now. You know, they get up, let's get a goal in us. Come on, boys, you know. And again, up and down the midfield, non-stop. But again, had a goal in him. And this is what we had at the time. We had midfield players that could score goals, and I think that took a lot of pressure off the centre-forwards.
Brilliant. Right, so that's two of your four. So you've got Walkie and Talbot. Who else you got in that midfield?
And my next one is Frans Tyson.
Legend.
Oh, what a player. What a player he was. He used to dribble round them, didn't he? I mean, they just couldn't get the ball off him. It was, you know, as soon as he got the ball, he went at the defence, went round the defence, scored goals, laid goals on. And to me, when we got the two Dutch players, that really changed our side to such a brilliant team and created more than anything. They just created so much for us. And Frans Tyson, you know, he never shouts out about the football. He just got on with it and was just a brilliant, brilliant player.
Fantastic. Yeah, Tyson was brilliant, of course, part of the Tyson-Muren combination. He was a wonderful player, Tyson, as you rightly say. So we've got Tyson, we've got Walk, we've got Talbot, and we're going to have alongside them three.
Surprise, surprise, Arnold Muren.
No, really? Well, extraordinary. Agony.
Yeah. I mean, them two together, as I said, when they come, they transformed our club so much. Mm. I mean, Arnold Muren's pass, and he put it on a sixpence, didn't he? I mean, that was how good he was. Dead ball, free kicks. But you give him the ball, and you had the boys up front. You knew that was coming straight for you. And to me, he was a great player. I think he was better for us than he was when he went to Man United. Yeah. But I think most of the players that left, the players like Frans Tyson, a lot of them that left didn't play as well as they did at Ipswich, because I just think we just had such a great side that, I mean, in 81, we were voted the best team in Europe, even though we weren't league champions. Although I did say to Peter Withert, a golf dude, we beat you three times that year and you won the league. You're lucky, you know. He's a big lad, but I said it from
you're brave. You're very brave, Keith, go up to Peter Withert and tell him.
Well, I was playing in a British Par 3 on Sky, and it's brilliant. It's so it's about 1,000 people on the course. And they kept saying to me, hit your shot. And Peter Wibb was sitting there, kneeling down, looking at his putt. And I went, a bit dodgy, and I shanked it, unfortunately, up the bottom, if I can say that. And he went, you could have waited. And as I walked by, I said, is it in play still? Well, I saw him in the evening. He went, oi, you, come here.
Yeah, I was, exactly. So, I mean, Muren, as you rightly say, was a terrific player. And, that's a pretty strong four there, Keith. But we're now heading. But by the way, I did interviews with Frans Tyson and Arnold Muren for the 81 UEFA Cup celebrations, the 40-year celebrations. You'll find them on our Kings of Anglia podcast here. If you delve back a little bit to find the podcast I did with a pair of them, which was brilliant. Just thought I'd throw that in since Keith has mentioned them. Right, so go up front then, Keith. You've got two strikers. Go.
I've gone for Paul Mariner. Paul Mariner, friend of mine. What a player he was. I mean, in the air. I mean, he scored great goals. I mean, I always still remember the goal against West Brom when he turned it and bang, top corner. But Paul was brilliant in the air as well. And to me, he was the all-round centre-forward. If the ball's on his feet, he can score. Same with the head. And again, went to Arsenal, done well at Arsenal. But for us, Paul, for me, is the best forward that I've watched in my time at Ipswich. I know, obviously, Ray Crawford, but that's a little bit before my time. But actual watching centre forward, I like to watch was Paul Mariner.
He was a great player, wasn't he? But who'd you put alongside him, Keith? I mean, such an icon of Ipswich Town that he was.
The other one I've gone for is Alan Brazil, which I just like the way Alan played. He got the ball forward. I mean, his left foot, Jesus. He put that ball on the left foot anywhere near the box that was in the net. And to me, Alan, I think he found it hard at Man United, even though I think his ratio goals were still like 1-2 and then went to Tottenham. But they never really gave him a chance enough, I didn't think, at Man United. But for us, I mean, he was great in the UEFA Cup team and scored a lot of good crucial goals, Alan did. When you look at the big games that we had, Alan was on the score sheet quite a few times when it really mattered. And to me, his left foot was just brilliant. And for me, I've put Alan in. It was so many good forwards we could have put in there, but I just remember the good matches that I saw, and I put Alan against with Paul Mariner.
And of course, Brazil and Muren had a great combination, didn't they?
Both left footers, weren't they, as well? So it's they worked really well together. And he was very good at making good runs, Alan was. I mean, I think
Brazil was, to me, Brazil was the only person who came close to be, he was a brilliant finisher, wasn't he? And the only person who came close to that was Marcus Stewart later on came. He came that sort of classic finisher. We always fancied Marcus was going to score when he was one-on-one or whatever. Slightly different way they approached it, but
The only reason I put Alan Brazilian over Marcus is that Alan scored goals, more important goals in bigger matches like UEFA Cup run and things like that. So that's the reason why I put Alan in, because Marcus Stewart was brilliant for us. But I just think Alan in the UEFA Cup, which is, you know, at the time we were the best team in Europe, and everyone said that, and he was scoring goals there. So that's why I think Alan deserved to go in.
Right, finally, Keith, it's been great listening to your favourite 11. Your favourite 11 is a very much a right, almost part of the almost UEFA Cup stroke FA Cup squad sort of mixed together. Which, I mean, wow, what a team it is when you look at it on paper. I mean, that's extraordinary. But now, I did say we're not to have substitutes, but you have insisted, and as world champion 1983, you're allowed to do what you like. So, darts champion 1983, you can do what you like, and you want to have a substitute. So, go on, Keith, you've got a sub and then a manager. Who are they?
The substitute was always one of my favourite players, Trevor Whitebuck. What a player. What a, in the air. I mean, the four goals that he got, was it Southampton? I was there that night. It was brilliant. But again, I mean, he was very much like Paul Mariner to me. He was good. He held the ball up well, and he was brilliant in the air. And I think that, I don't think he got the same recognition as some of the others that he should have done. He's a very quiet, unassuming person, but to me, how many good goals did he get for us? And he played in some really good teams. And I put Trevor as me sub. I know it's normally Mick Lambert or Roger Osborne every saying because of the FA Cup. But to me, Trevor was another very good goal scorer for us as well. And my manager has to be the late Sir Bobby Robson. I mean, we were very fortunate to have Sir Alf Ramsey, Sir Bobby Robson. I mean, it's very hard to choose between them because, you know, Sir Alf Ramsey took Division 2, then to Division 1. But we won the FA Cup, we won the UEFA Cup. And when you watch the documentary on Sir Bobby Robson, when he first came to the club, it was like, you know, what you're doing here. And when you think where he went from what he'd done, PSV, Barcelona, he was successful around the world. And that, to me, is the reason why. Not also because two of our three biggest events is the FA Cup and the UEFA Cup. I think that Sir Bobby Robson is my manager, but you could put Sir Alf Ramsey as well. I mean, it's, you know, to win the league, which is the main league, and the Division 2, Division 1 in 2 years is unbelievable. But, I mean, my dad, when he was alive, used to see Sir Bobby Robson a lot of times when he walked to work, you know, and always used to say hello. And just he was a lovely man, wasn't he? I mean, you know, he was so respected by... I mean, Newcastle was his love because he was from that part of the world. But his two loves really were Newcastle and Ipswich. And we're very lucky to have, you know, two fantastic managers. I think we've got another fantastic manager at the moment now that I think can go on and do great things for us.
Well, let's hope so. Kieran McKenna, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it, if he can go? I mean, yeah, Robson, I think a lot of people might see this, you know, they sort of sitting there thinking, well, I never saw all these days. What were they like? You know, all these people keep talking about it. And, you know, I haven't really seen them so long ago, but it was very magical, wasn't it, Key? Although I don't know about you. I look back and I think, do you know what? I think we took it for granted a bit. We sort of just seemed to think it was just going to carry on forever. And this was just the way it was. We were just good. And we had a good manager. That felt a bit like that at the time, I think.
Well, and also the problem is that we were a brilliant side and we had great players, but the bigger clubs had the more money they wanted. If you get a chance to go to Manchester United and Liverpool, I mean, they're some of the greatest teams ever. You can't blame them. I mean, it's like me on the dart side. I played for Suffolk, then I went and played for London with the big boys, you know, because that was where you played in front of 1,000 people in a county match. So it's just, you just want to do it, you know. It's not that you don't love the place anymore. It's just that it's football. And now, I think with Kieran McKenna, I met him 2 months ago. And really, really nice person. And my daughter, Lauren, who is a physio at Ipswich as well, saw Kieran, I think, a couple of weeks ago after the last game of the season. And he sat there and had a chat with her for half an hour. And I thought, you know, really nice. And hopefully, I mean, we can keep him. And we can, you know, I think we're playing some lovely football. We're playing some lovely football, but we've got to score goals. And when you look at the teams that have been in the playoffs, they've had one goal scorer, haven't they, that scored. I mean, Macaulay Bon, I thought it was great because he's a Chantry lad like me. I was hoping Macaulay would, but he started fantastic. But it's what is nice so far that I've seen, that they've all said, you know, they love their time at Ipswich and it doesn't seem to be so great. So I wish any of the players good luck wherever they go, but I just can't wait for next season. I keep telling, I was away the other day in Scotland, and it was a Sunderland guy, and I went, listen, we're winning the league next year. We're going to win it. We're going to walk that league. He went, well, I don't know about that. And by the end of it, he said, what, Dritton, you'll win the league? I went, yes. He went, I'm having some money on it, and I'm a Sunderland fan.
you keep getting people to put money on Ipswich Town all the time, Keith. You're quite good. You're quite good for the bookies.
Well, I did say that to Dean Ashton last year at the par three, you know. And, I said, look at that now. But it's a good feel factor of the club now. We've got fantastic owners, brilliant manager. We've got some really good players. Now we've just got to take that next step and get in the, I think, automatic, forget playoff. Playoffs are still a lottery in my book. But the support we're getting, you know, in next year, you know, I always say to people, 2 years ago, the club was in a bad place. Football wasn't great. No, there's nothing really happening, was there? And you know, so we've got optimism now that we can, you know, when you watch the games, I've watched a lot of them, even on iFollow when I'm away. You know, we're out playing the teams, we're out playing them. So, fingers crossed. Come on, the town, we're here. Where's my badge?
I'm gonna say, show your badge off. Show your badge off, Keith. I mean, there they go.
The badge is there. The badge is there.
Fantastic.
Oh, I got me 138. Look, me 138 shirt. There you go.
Oh, all the memorabilia is coming out now. All the memorabilia. It'll be, I don't know what's coming out next. I don't think. You might have some underpants on with some flashy stuff. We don't do it, Keith. But anyway.
No, so, I've got my darts. We have 138 darts.
He's got his darts. He's got his shirt. He's got his Ipswich Town shirt. Keith, look, let's before we go, just come on and let's reel off that Ipswich Town, your favourite Ipswich Town 11 again. Let's have you got it all written down? We can go through it again and then we'll say goodbye. And it's been brilliant.
Lovely. Cheers, mate. In goal, Paul Cooper. Right back, Mick Mills. Right back, George Burley. Centre halves, Kevin Beattie, Terry Butcher. Midfield, John Walk, Frans Tyson, Arnold Muin, Brian Talbot. Up front, Alan Brazil. And Paul Mariner, substitute Trevor Weimark, manager Sir Bobby Robson, and that will win the Premier League now and the Champions League.
Steve Della, absolutely fantastic catching up with you. You're an absolute legend at Ipswich for all you did in darts and a great Ipswich Town fan. Thank you ever so much for your time, and I hope you all enjoyed listening. We'll come back. There'll be some more people bringing down their favourite Town 11s as the summer goes on. Keith, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Cheers. All the best. Come on to town.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.